In the gospel today, our Lord compares the word of God to a seed that a farmer sows in his field. And he wants us to understand that just as a seed is necessary for a farm in order for it to grow food, so the word of God is necessary for our souls so we can produce merit that will earn for us eternal life. But unfortunately, most of the seed that the sower planted was lost. And we see the same thing with the word of God that is planted in the hearts of mankind. It is also usually lost. So what is the problem here? Is there something wrong with the seed or with the sower that is casting the seed? Of course not. Every seed by nature has within it the germ of life. It is a living thing. And every seed will grow if it has the right conditions. The fault lies in the conditions in which the seed falls. Just as if the word of God doesn't take root in someone's soul, it is the fault of that person because he doesn't treasure and nurture this teaching that he receives. In the early church, in times of persecution, when people didn't have public churches like we have now, and they had to assemble in the catacombs or in secret for the Mass, people had great zeal to hear the word of God and to put it into practice. And we hear the same thing from a lot of missionaries that taught pagans in North America in the early days, or in Africa or Asia, that many of those converts would travel miles and miles to hear the word of God on Sunday and to attend Mass. But unfortunately, with so many Catholics now, this is not the case. They have the opportunity and in fact the obligation to come to Mass on Sunday and to hear the word of God too. But they either don't come at all or they don't listen to the word of God when they are in Mass. Some people even wish there were no sermon at all so they could leave Mass earlier and go home and watch a football game, for example. Or if they do listen to the sermon, they don't pay attention and they wish they were over more quickly. I've even heard that in Europe, in traditional Catholic parishes over there, it's actually a common practice for people to walk out of the church and go out and smoke cigarettes outside during the sermon on Sunday. Fortunately, that doesn't seem to go on in the United States. But even people who are present are not always very impressed by what they hear, even when the sermon tells them about their sins or their vices. And they hear about the horrific punishments that God will visit us for our sins and the danger that we have of being called to God's judgment at any time or even of being sent to hell. And people often don't pay attention to these things. And the word of God remains without fruit because the ground it fell on in their heart was worthless. People like this have no desire for heaven because the world and its pleasures are all they think about, so that they can't tear themselves away from this world and from their sins. Sometimes when someone who has done a lot of traveling sits down and tells stories about where he has gone and the different adventures and difficulties he has experienced in his travels, some people will be interested to hear what he's saying, but others won't. But if there is someone in his audience in the room that plans to go to the same countries that this person is talking about that he has visited, he will listen with careful attention and remember as much as he can about what this person says, what the traveler says, and he will ask questions about how to get to this place, how to function when he's there, and about everything that he can think of that he will need to know when he goes to that same place as the other traveler. Well, all of us are Catholics on a journey, or we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be on a journey to heaven, or planning to go there. So when we hear a sermon about our eternal home, describing to us how to get there and how to avoid paths that will take us away from that destination, and how to avoid the dangers that could get in our way, we have to listen carefully if we are truly travelers who want to get to heaven. And if we have any questions about the journey that we are trying to make, we have to ask our confessor or study in books about the faith. But people who are not planning to go to heaven obviously will not have much interest in hearing how to get there. And these are the people that are not that interested, because what they really are interested in is living in this world and pursuing its pleasures and its goods. Someone like that will pay little attention to a sermon. But of course, there are only two places that we can end up in for all eternity, heaven and hell. And someone who isn't planning to go to heaven will be sent to hell whether he plans to go there or not. And then there are other people that do listen to a sermon with attention, and they make good resolutions, and they want to improve their life spiritually, but their resolutions don't last very long. There is no true amendment of heart, and after they go home, they quickly forget what they were told. These are the people for whom the seed fell on dry ground, so that the seed sprang up quickly, but then it withered away. We have an example of someone like this in the Old Testament, of someone not keeping a good resolution. One day, the evil King Saul was pursuing King David, trying to kill him out of envy of King David, whom God had chosen to replace Saul. And as Saul was out in the woods looking for David, who was hiding in the woods, he got tired, and he came across a cave, and he went in there to take a nap. And he went in, and his bodyguard went in there too, and all of them fell asleep, including the people that were supposed to be guarding Saul. Well, David saw this as he went past this cave, and he went in, and he could have very easily killed everybody there in their sleep, including Saul, but he didn't hurt anybody. But he wanted to prove to Saul that he could have very easily killed him if he had wanted to. So what he did was that he very quietly cut off a little piece of Saul's cloak, and he took it with him out of the cave. And he went out to a safe distance away, and he sat down and waited for everybody to wake up. When Saul woke up and came out of the cave, David shouted out to him from a distance, and he told him that he had been in there and he could have easily killed Saul. But instead, he simply cut off a piece of Saul's clothing. As proof of this, he held up the piece of Saul's cloak that he took with him. And Saul looked down at his cloak, and he saw there was a piece of that exact shape and size missing from his cloak, and he knew this was true. That David had, in a sense, spared his life while Saul himself was trying to kill David. Well, Saul was pretty alarmed at what had happened, and he was concerned that maybe if this ever happened again, that maybe David wouldn't be so nice about everything next time. So he told David that he would not attempt to kill him anymore. And in fact, he swore an oath that he would consider David a friend from then on. And he asked for his pardon. So he was afraid for his life, and he made a good resolution. But then he didn't keep it. It wasn't long after that he completely forgot about this, and he went back to trying to kill David. This is exactly what happens to a lot of people who hear the word of God. They hear a sermon in which they understand better, and they realize things like the goodness and mercy of God and the love that God has for them. And also they see the evil of sin and the punishments of hell. And they are touched in their hearts, and they pray to God and say they are sorry and they will not sin again. And this is very good. And that is why we have sermons to begin with, to move people to virtue and sorrow for their sins. But unfortunately, as soon as these people leave the church, they go right back to their sins. The first temptation that they come upon overpowers them. They don't pray, they forget their good resolutions, and they fall back into their sins. So we have to avoid being this type of person. This is why the word of God is not fruitful for so many people, because their hearts are already possessed by the goods and the pleasures of this world, so that they can't tear themselves away from them. What we have to do, rather, is to be persevering in prayer and in the practice of virtue. We have to be faithful in going to the sacraments as often as we can to receive those powerful graces to practice virtue. We have to pray fervently to God every single day for the same reasons. To ask Him constantly for His protection against sin and to keep us on the path to heaven, to our true destination in life, our real goal. And we have to listen attentively when we hear a sermon. There was a man once who never bothered to go and listen to sermons when they were preached at the church. And this was in a Catholic country where everybody else in the village would go and hear all the sermons that were preached in the church. But this man was not interested, and he gave great scandal by ignoring the word of God. And people would tell him that he should come and hear some great preacher coming in to give a good sermon, or just to come and hear how to save his soul. And he would laugh it off, and he would say, "Oh, I can just preach to myself instead." Finally, he died. And during his funeral mass in the church, as the priest was saying the blessing of his body after mass in the coffin, and the choir was chanting, suddenly, the man's dead body started to move. And his hands rose up in the air, and they went and they covered each of his ears like this, as if he were trying not to hear something. And the people were terrified when they saw this. And the priest said, "This man refused to hear sermons during his life. So now God is telling us that he is refusing now to hear the prayers that we are saying for the repose of this man's soul in the next life." And they concluded that this was a public sign that this man's soul was in hell, since that's where he would have to be in order to be beyond the reach of the prayers of the church. And they stopped the ceremony right then and there. They took his body straight out of the church, out to a field, out in the woods somewhere. They dug a hole, they put him in there like a dead dog, they filled it up, and they went home, and that was the end of him. But hearing sermons is not the only way to hear the word of God. In fact, it shouldn't be even the main way that we do that. A much better and easier and more convenient way to hear and receive the word of God is through spiritual reading. Spiritual reading is something we can all do anytime we want, anywhere we want. All we need is a book in front of us to read. We can read also for as long as we want and as often as we want, and about whatever subject we want that we need to learn about or to be encouraged in. And this is something that has a powerful effect on our minds, similar to hearing the word of God. It's just really hearing the word of God through another medium. And in fact, it can even be more effective than hearing a sermon from a priest, because we are reading the writings and the thoughts and the words of canonized saints in spiritual reading, or at least of very holy people. Of people who are even much holier than probably any priest you would know in real life. And their words are filled with unction and piety and holiness, and it automatically raises us to God and fills us with the love of God just to read what the saints wrote about God and his love and about the practice of virtue. This is a very powerful means of sanctification and salvation that a lot of people neglect. And they miss out on the powerful graces that God would give them through the means of these holy books that we have about the spiritual life. And unlike a sermon where you sit passively and you listen and you can't stop and think about an idea that impresses you in the sermon, unlike that, when you read a book, you can focus for as long as you want on something that impresses you that you read, or something that touches your heart. You can read the same thing even again and again to get a deeper understanding of it and have that thought sink more deeply into your soul. And that is in fact how we should do spiritual reading. We shouldn't read it like we're reading a novel. We should read it in a meditative way, thinking about the ideas presented to us. So it doesn't matter how many pages we read. What matters more is really the amount of time that we spend on our spiritual reading and the amount that we think about what we read and the good resolutions that we make as a result. That's really the goal, not to read, you know, some number of pages each day. This practice should be part of everybody's spiritual life. But unfortunately, a lot of people in their spiritual lives in general are very weak and lukewarm towards God and weak against sin, but they would be very fervent Catholics and zealous and devout if they would only spend 10 or 15 minutes a day reading something about God by some saint or some holy person. That's all it would take in many cases. Especially with Lent coming up, let us make a resolution to do this in the season of penance. To choose a book about our Lord or Our Lady or about the virtues, about prayer or the spiritual life, or about the life of Christ or the life of the saints. And read it this coming Lent every day. Particularly reading books by canonized saints, that should be the priority. So if we bring the Word of God into our hearts and nourish it every day with that means, we will be the good ground where the seed will enter, and we will bring forth fruit 100-fold, and we will save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.